Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, challenge us all to move from where we are to where you would have us be. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the title of today's message, Saints. All right, what's the title, Saints? Loving the World. After that rousing, inspiring message by the choir, I know y'all can say a little bit more what y'all saying. Okay, we are in the final message in our Falling in Love Again series. I began the series with loving the ain'ts. Pastor Kelly followed with loving the Lord. Pastor Toby came last week with loving the saints. And I am going to end the series today with loving the world. Now, it does not matter how old we are or how young we are, love is going to produce some struggles in all of us. We have seen that true love always produces an action either on our part or on God's part. We also know that love has the power to excite something within us whenever it is stored inside of us. Now, sometimes things or people that we have walked away from whom we once loved can have a subtle pullback on our lives. How many of you have discovered that for yourself? I can remember about 15 years ago getting a phone call from an old girlfriend that I had been engaged to marry. And for a moment, I was captivated to think that she had called me after all of those years. And we talked about past family members and mutual friends. And then she said, "I know you're a pastor, so I was wondering if I could call you sometime on a regular basis to get some counseling." Now, I knew when she said that in that instance, this was actually a call from the world to return to something that I needed to avoid at all costs. And I told her, I says, "Well, my wife is also a pastor and she would do a much better job of counseling with you." She said, "Okay, I'll think about that." I never heard from her again. Now, very few married people want to have an old girlfriend or boyfriend calling to talk to their spouse. And it's not always that they don't trust their spouse. They don't trust the motive of the person who's doing the calling. They suspect that person is trying to reignite a flame that was once inside of you. And the devil is always seeking to reignite a flame or start a flame burning in our hearts for something we should not pursue or go after, even though at the time it might look like something very, very innocent. Now, I wish I could say that every time the world has called me, I could say that I handled it the same way I handled that phone call, but I have not. And probably most of you have not either. Amen? The world says, go back to this old way of doing business. World says, try that old attitude. The world says, do it this way. The world says, just act funny or whatever. But there's a key passage in the Bible that talks about the world. There it is in your outline. It says in 1 John 2:15-17, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, and their boasting about what they have and do, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever." Now, what is the Bible actually talking about when it warns us against conforming to the patterns of this world or falling in love with the world? First thing I want to point out here is whenever the Bible says do not do something, it's because it is only natural for us to do it given the right circumstances. As a matter of fact, we will be able to do it without even thinking about it and not even being aware that it is happening to us. So it tells us, do not do this. Now, you say, well, what exactly is the world? The world is the system of things around us, the things which get our attention, the things that say, do this, try me, woo, here I am, over here, come after me. The world offers us a fast fix for almost anything we want. The world offers us endless fun without having to consider the cost. The world even offers us religion, where we can pick and choose which parts we want to obey and still be right with God. The world will tell us, serve God, but not too much. And don't tell anybody about it. And for heaven's sakes, don't try to convince somebody else. Accept everybody's views as your own. The world says, make all the money you can and blow it on yourself. Give God a little donation every now and then, but don't you dare think about tithing. The world offers us endless distractions with entertainment, advertisements, ways of thinking, alternate lifestyles, beauty competitions, sporting events, political wars, and a whole lot more. It is easy to fall in love with the world. Why? Because it looks good, it sounds good, it feels good, it promises a lot, and it always seems to work in our favor. It always has something new to offer to us. Now, I don't have the slightest idea what a 3G phone is, but I know if I want to be on the top, I need to have a 4G phone because that's the latest one that has come out. I'm finding it amazing sometimes how many of us love the Lord our God with all our heart, and we won't give $2 in the offering plate, but we got a $200 3G phone, $100 shoes on our feet, and we boast about, child, I pay my phone on time all the time. I ain't about to get my phone cut off. Yet when we was broke and needed a job, how many of you know we didn't go to Verizon? We didn't go to Sprint. We didn't go to Revel. We came right over here and said, Pastor Rick, I need a job. Just pray that the Lord will bless me so I can be a blessing to the church. Next time you come up here, I'm going to pray you stay broke so long. That's just for those of you who got the job and didn't give anything. Now, don't y'all get me off guard. John tells us there are three things that cause us to love the world. The first one, he says, are the cravings we have, which are our natural physical desires. Anybody here ever had a natural desire get you in trouble? Yeah, I had this unfortunate experience on Thursday. Thursday, we was fasting and praying. I started counting the hours. I was getting hungry and didn't realize it. Mary went and made me some chicken and rice and cornbread just like I liked it. I forgot I hadn't eaten in a long time. Threw that stuff in so fast. The urge said, eat it, eat it, eat it. About a half hour later, the stomach said, pain, 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 pain. Pain! Could barely sleep that night because of a stomach ache. Giving in to the natural desires of the world. John says the second thing is the lusting that we see with our eyes. How many of you were before just absolutely content with what you had until you saw an advertisement? And you said, oh, I gotta have that one. And you got it, but it wasn't what you thought it was gonna be. Here is what the world does for us. How many of you have ever ordered a fillet of fish over at McDonald's? How many of you have looked at your fillet and looked at the one up there on the wall? The one up there on the wall, it's got cheese on both sides coming off. You look at yours, who cut my cheese in half? And it's all on one side. The one up on the wall got all that juice stuff flowing all around it. You open yours, look like somebody said, with your sauce. The one up there, there's steam coming out it. You can almost smell the thing. You look at yours, it's just laying there. And you know what? Even after we realize that, the next time we go to McDonald's, I'll take a fillet of fish. That's how the world does with our eyes. It says, you need this, you need this, you need this, get this, get this. And you get it, and it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. And John said, the third thing is the boasting of what we have done. This is really nothing more than pride. Now, I know most of y'all here have never had a problem with pride. But there are some people that do. How many of you have ever put in a compliment on what you have done or what it is you have accomplished, or you've dropped a name or two? Yes, I met President Obama myself. Matter of fact, last week I was down with the mayor. You were so far back in the crowd, he didn't even know you was there. But you telling folks you was down there with the mayor. Or somebody gets up and they sing a solo song really, really good. But you didn't enjoy the song because I don't know why they didn't choose me to sing that song. I can sing it just as good as they could have sung it. How come I didn't get chosen to be doing the one to do that report? I could have did a better job than that. That's nothing but pride. Now, how many of you ever exaggerated your part in something? You telling about the game you played in. Oh, yeah, you should have seen me. Yeah, you wasn't in the game but 3 seconds. They should have seen. They should have seen you. You got up so quick, but you made it sound like you scored the winning shot. Y'all was down by 55 when they put you in. The reality is, we have all craved, we have all coveted, and we have all boasted and demonstrated pride. But there is a price for going after each of these. You see, what we end up running after can control us, it can divide us, and it can distract us from the things of God. And all of them can lead to us falling in love with something other than God. Now let me introduce you to somebody who was stronger than any football player or real hero that you might know. He was a real person born in a real point in history, in a real place in time. He was God's idea. He originated in the heart of God. Before he was even conceived, God told his mother, "You're going to have a child, and this child is going to be special to me. You are never to drink any wine, any alcoholic beverage, any fermented drink during your pregnancy, and you are not to eat any unclean food. Never cut his hair, for he is a Nazarite separated to be set apart to me, and he is going to be a great deliverer for his people." His name was Samson, and Samson's parents did their part. Now, the thing about Samson was he looked like an ordinary person. He wasn't built like me with muscles bulging to the left and to the right. He was more like Terrence, tall, slender kind of guy. So when you looked at him, you really didn't think he was that powerful. But one day he was walking down the street and a lion said, "There go a good hunk of meat." And he came charging at Samson, and Samson grabbed that lion and ripped him apart with his bare hands. And then on another occasion, Samson went behind enemy lines, killed 30 enemy soldiers just to get their clothes in their own town. In another situation, he had been tied up with ropes, but when the enemy troops came toward him, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The ropes on his arm melted like wax. He found the jawbone of a donkey as a weapon, and he killed 1,000 men in one battle. His power was awesome. And like I said, he didn't have gouging muscles. He just looked ordinary. And nobody knew, why was this dude so strong? Now, with all of his strength, Samson did have a weakness. And the call of the world on his life came through his sexual desires. Samson just had a great ability to fall for the wrong kind of women. When he came time to marry, he didn't choose somebody from among his own people. He went and found him a Philistine woman who was the very enemy of his people. And so when it came time to marry her, he did. Before the first week of the marriage had ended, she had betrayed him. He had called her a heifer to a bunch of other people. He packed his bags and left and went home. This is all in the first week of his marriage. And then when he came back, his father-in-law said, man, I thought you hated the girl, so I gave her to somebody else. His subsequent actions led to her and her father being killed by the Philistines. Then on another occasion, one battle in which Samson killed 1,000 men, after that great battle, it's out there in the desert area, it looks like he is going to die of thirst. And he is on his knees, and he cries out to God. He says, God, you done gave me this great deliverance. Now am I supposed to die of thirst and fall in the hand of the Philistines? Lord, please give me some water. Get me out of this mess. And like we do when we get in a mess. And by the way, Lord, if you get me out of this, I promise I'll be faithful. I'll serve you every day for the rest of my life. And so God hears him, and he opens the desert, and up comes this water, and Samson drinks it, and he is revived. Samson then takes his place in society, and he becomes the leader of his people that God intended for him to be. And the scripture says, he governed Israel for 20 years. But in that 20 years, there's no record in the Bible of Samson seeking to draw closer to God. There's nothing in there about him falling in love with God. I want us to recognize, if we do not direct our energies toward loving God, we will respond by loving the world. Because the magnetic pull of the world, you ever seen how a magnet just draws you? The magnetic pull to the world is always going to be stronger than the magnetic pull to God. And some of us, we pointed toward God doing the moonwalk. Because the world, we have not let go of its pull on us. And for those of us who, I don't want none of that religious stuff, the world got us it just got us completely. We don't even have a chance. Now, having done what he was called to do for 20 years, the love of the world told Samson, you're missing out on something that could be fun. As a matter of fact, 20 years, you deserve to do something. Isn't it ironic that we think after we have chopped up so many good years with God, somehow we get a pass to sin? Yeah, you know, I've just been good too long. And people even tell you, child, you've been good all these years. You deserve one night out of fun. Just go out. Like, God says, okay, you was good, so now you want to go be bad? Well, that shows you how warped we can be, and most of us know what I'm talking about. Now, Samson, with this call of the world, he's going to follow the same three-step pattern that we all follow. He's going to have a craving inside. He's going to see something or someone, and he's going to think, I deserve to do this. And he is probably going to let pride get in there some kind of a way. Now, I ask all of us. We know what Samson's weakness is, but what is yours? Where is the world calling you today? How many of y'all out there are shopaholics? You just got to have, the moment you see it, whoa, I gotta have that. Materialistic. I gotta have the latest this, I gotta have the latest that, I gotta have the latest that. Now, how does your materialism stack with your ties? I ain't gonna look. How many of you got a problem with fame? You just want people to admire you. You don't mind putting down folks. You don't mind embarrassing people. As long as you lifting up yourself, you are happy. I mean, you got a problem with selfishness. I should have seen a slew of hands go up. Shoot. Now, you know, you've been there and you knew it was the last piece of cake. You did not even think about who else might want this. You grabbed that thing and ate it before you could say, Mama, Mama Mia. I mean, it is just plain rebellion. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. Anybody that's got teenagers know how that spirit feels. Anybody that's a teenager is already, I mean, that was a teenager. We already got experience with what it was like. Companionship. You desire this companionship. Now, if you say, there's no call of the world on my life, you already deceived. Because the call of the world is always going out. And the temptation to fall in love with the world is always there. It doesn't have to be sin. I mean, you know, you can fall in love with the football game. Your wife talking to you during the game. Don't you talk to me when this game is over with. Don't you mess with me. My story's on. House can be burning down. You're trying to watch One Life to Live. Flavor. The love of the world can be powerful in all kinds of ways. Anything that causes us to put God on the back burner, I'm going to get back to you, is the world. Now, there was a song with the lyrics, come to me, let me put my arms around you, this was meant to be. That's what the world says. Come to me. You deserve this. This was intended for you to have, and you're just moving right on there, moving right on with it. Now, at first, Samson didn't want anybody to know what he was going to do, so he went out of town where he thought he wasn't going to be recognized. He left his own city, and he went to the Philistine city in Gaza, and he found him a prostitute there. And he intended to spend the entire night with her there in Gaza. So when he went in, the people of Gaza, they recognized Samson, and they said, let's get together. First thing in the morning, when he come out of that house, we are going to kill him at the break of dawn. But Samson is laying there asleep. And for some reason, he wakes up in the middle of the night and decides to leave. Now I want us to notice that even in our rebellion, God will give us a warning to help us escape. But, say but, God's patience will not forever stall God's justice or God's discipline. Because the Bible says anybody God loves, eventually God is going to discipline them. Now, Samson, when he woke up, his pride got the best of him. He just had to show off. Instead of sneaking out the city like he had snuck in, the brother goes over to these massive city walls. They probably about 20 feet high, 30 feet wide. He don't open the door and sneak out. He grabs the doors, rips them out of the socket. These things that weigh about a ton each, carries them up to the top of the mountain or top of the hill, throws them down. That wasn't nothing. And he's gone. He was boasting, look, I can do what I want to do. I am Samson. His love for the world is getting the best of him. And it's also going to be a gateway for the enemy to set a trap for him. Satan is eager to give us a poor misrepresentation of what God intends for us to have. Now, one day, Samson goes back to the land of the Philistines, and he sees a woman by the name of Delilah. Man, that just sounds good, don't it, man? Delilah. 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 Even Larry back there waving his hand. I see that hand, Brother Fountain. It just sounds good. Don't you women go change y'all's name to no Delilah. And this time, Samson just doesn't like. He just falls in love. Love. I mean, he just loses his mind. He is completely willing at this point to trade his love for God and goes after Delilah. He leaves the place of leadership that God has given him, and the two of them move in together. Now, they just shacking together. They didn't get married. The world tells us there's no need for any commitment. Just have a good time. Now, Samson is sure. Delilah is the best thing that has ever happened to him. When he was with her, everything was all right. Unbeknown to him, Delilah has struck a deal with the leaders of her people. They said, look, each one of us will pay you 1,100 shekels of silver if you can find out the source of Samson's strength so that we can capture and overpower him. Now, Samson is head over heels in love. She don't care two bits about Samson. All she sees is, this dude is my ticket to wealth and a good time, and it ain't gonna be with him. Now, when it comes to a relationship, the person who wants the relationship the least has the most power in it. Because the other person is gonna always be trying to compromise to keep them. Don't leave me, please don't leave me, don't leave me, don't leave me. So whoever wants it the least really has the most power. All right. So there they are. She asks Samson, she says, sweetheart, what's the secret of your great strength? And Samson loves her, but he's not quite sure why she's asking this. So he lies and he tells her, baby, if I'm tied with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll be as weak as any other man. She sees money dancing in her head. She hears cha-ching, cha-ching as she's walking down the street. She tells the rulers, I need 7 fresh thongs that have never been dried. Give them to me. Y'all come by the house. I'll leave the back door open. Have men hiding in the room. Wait till I give the signal. That night she says to Samson, she says, you know, baby doll, I want to do something a little different tonight. I want to play tie up with fresh thongs. And so she said, Samson, okay, that's what you want to do. So that night she ties Samson up with 7 fresh thongs. And she said, wait a minute, baby, I got to go get something out the other room. And she walks to the other room. She sees the men are there. She screams, oh, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are on you. Save yourself. These men come running out of the room. Samson jumps up. He breaks off this thong. He grabs this first dude, throws him out the window, grabs the second one, throws him on the wall, grabs the next one, slams him on the floor. The rest of them run out of the room. Samson says to Delilah, baby, I don't know what I'd do without you. Thank you so much for saving my life. She says, well, honey, you know you are my man. But by the way, baby, you made a fool out of me tonight. And she says, I made a fool out of you. He says, yeah. She says, yeah. You lied to me, telling me what the source of your strength is. Now, come on, be honest. What is it really? He says, well, honey, if somebody ties me with new ropes that have never been used, then I will be weak as any other man. Well, she gets some new ropes. Thursday night, guess what game she want to play in the bedroom? Tonight it's tie on with the rope night. So she done tied him down, pulled the ropes just as tight as she could. Wait 1 minute, honey. I got to go and grab this last little thing. She goes in there. She screams. They jump up. They come in. He picks this one up, throws out the window, throws in the floor, slams. Everybody run. We already know what happens. He says again, sweetheart, I don't know what I'd do without you. She says, yeah, I try to protect my man. But she says, you know, baby doll, you really making me look like a big fool now. She says, what do you mean? He says, well, You lied to me a second time about what the secret of your strength is. And she's over there pouting and looking mad and everything. And he says, oh, honey, all right, you see these braids I got, these 7 big braids? If any time I get some fabric woven into my hair, I will be as weak as any other man. Well, I don't know what they did that night, but boy, whatever it was, when he went to sleep, he went to sleep. She then got her some cloth. She waved that stuff into his hair. She sneaked over there to the room, yelled out again, the Philistines are upon you. The battle was on. Shoop, wham, whoop, wham, whoop, whoop, shoop, shoom. The Philistine rulers told her, girl, don't you call us over to your house no more. The hospital bills we are paying is more than what we intended to give you in the first place. We are through with you. Delilah sees her money going out the window. She then starts to put on her, how can you say you love me if you won't do this? You're supposed to be willing to tell me everything. No, he's not. She is not his wife. She's just his girlfriend. There is a difference. Now, the world will eventually wear us down and wear us out. How many of you have told your kids no? But you got one of them kids that's just persistent. They know how to keep asking and know how to keep asking. And you done told them, I told you no. I told you no. I told you no. I'm sick and tired of you. Just go on and do it. Just go on. My daughter Samantha, that girl knew how to get my no to a yes. She would just wait for that key moment to just keep on, keep on. And you get there. Well, she's on his case. She's nagging him left and right. And she probably told him, you know, baby, if you want me to make sex what it used to be for us, you got to give me everything for me to give you everything. So tell me, what is the truth to your secret? And he finally just breaks down. And he says, okay, I was set apart for God from birth. I have never had a razor used on my head. If my hair is shaved, I will become as weak as any other man. Her response, oh baby, you must really, really love me to have told me what was on your heart. I got plans for you this evening that you would not believe. Meanwhile, she texted in the Philistines, get here tonight. It is on. Bring the money back. Bring the money bags with you. I want to get paid tonight. I don't know what kind of night they had, but man, it wore him out. He went to sleep laying on her lap. He had total confidence in her love for him. While he laying there on her lap sleeping, she calls the guy in. He puts some lather on his head. All of his hair is going away there on the file. And then she says, let me see. She reaches over there and pinches him on the arm. And for the first time, his arm flinched. And she does it again and it flinches again. Oh, I got it now. She calls. Psst. Samson, the Philistines are on you. Save yourself. Samson jumps up. I can see him. I'm sick and tired of this mess. You want trouble? I'll give you some trouble. You come on over here. I will give you some trouble. This dude about 6'3" comes over there. Samson goes and grabs him. The guy looks at him and said, "Fail." First time in his life anybody ever hit him like that. Next thing he know, somebody done slammed him against the wall. Somebody done picked him up and body slammed him. And the brother is beat down until there's no more beat down to do. You see, the scripture says he went out as he did before, but he did not know the Spirit of God had left him. You see, when we choose to go after the world, we don't know when it is at that moment the Spirit of God is finally going to leave. And we think that we are the same person that we were and we can do what we used to do, but we can't. And the very things we pursue and dedicate our strength and energy to can lead to our downfall. I can see Samson calling out, "Delilah, Delilah." And Delilah comes in, and there she is with her bags of silver and a smile on her face, and the Philistine rulers all laughing at him. And they then take something and gouge out both of his eyeballs. They put him in prison, and he gets the job of what an ox would do of just going around in a circle, pushing this grinding wheel into wheat. He's thrown into prison, and everybody forgets he's in prison. The only one who does not forget is God. I don't know where your love for the world has taken you, but I want you to know that God has not forgotten you. Samson's hair starts to grow back. It gets longer and longer and longer. And at some point, the spirit begins to return. And one day, the Philistines were going to have this huge party at this stadium kind of event. And Samson obviously had been there when he had his eyes, but there were like two pillars that held up the grandstand that was looking over, and the rulers would sit up on this stone thing held by these stone pillars. And they decided, let's go get Samson and laugh at him as he's struggling around with his eyes out. And they bring Samson, and Samson asks the servant, he says, "Would you please just lead me to where that pillar is so I can rest my body up against the pillar?" And the guy does. He's not thinking any of it. And there's this pillar here and the other one is here. And Samson cries out to God. He says, "God, I ask you this one thing. Just be with me one more time that I might avenge the Philistines for taking out my eyes." And he puts his hand over here and his hand over there, and he says with a mighty shout, "Ah!" And he pushes against those pillars, and these massive stone columns give way and they break, and all these Philistine rulers come tumbling down and all this rubble and rocks. And when all the screaming and everything is stopped, there's 3,000 Philistines and one Israelite dead. Samson's love for the world had left him broken, bruised, buried deep under a pile of rubble. His brothers and his fathers, when they got word, they came to dig him out. But by this time, his body was practically unrecognizable, even though he had been chosen by God. My friends, Jesus has come to keep us from falling in love with the world. You see, it's not enough to just know what is right and what is wrong. Lots of people know what's wrong, but they do it anyways. There has to be a love inside of us that says, God, you're going to be first in my life no matter what. And pleasing you is far more important than pleasing anyone else, including myself. Falling in love with Jesus is the way we keep from destroying ourselves. You see, the worst kind of love we can have is the love for this world. For not only will it cost us our lives, it can cost us salvation. Jesus offers us a life worth living, both here and beyond the grave. Friends, if you're gonna fall in love, I pray that you fall in love with God first and foremost. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you are a great and awesome God. We thank you, God, that even though you knew we were going to be attracted to the world, you still loved us enough to die for us. We thank you, God, that even when we've stumbled and fallen, you've been there to lift us up. We thank you, God, that even when we put ourselves in situations we shouldn't have been in, you still came alongside of us to lead us out. Oh God, for those of us who find ourselves still being trapped by the things of this world, give us a love for you and a determination to serve you no matter what, that we might find freedom in you. In Jesus' name, amen.